Welcome to the Hope United Church podcast. We are one church with two locations. For video live streams of our services and more information, please visit www.hopeunited.org.uk.
Matthew 25, I'm going to read this. It's a bit wordy, there are 13 verses. I try and make a rule that I never read more than 7 verses. Sometimes you read, you know, if people are talking and they end up having about, they read about 2 chapters, you're gone. But I was going to read it and break it down. But so this is actually 13 verses, but bear with me. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back with interest. 3 men given talents by God. In this day and age, these talents would have been worth, the first man who was given 5 talents, in monetary terms would have been worth, because it wouldn't have been given money, it would have been given in gold or silver usually. Yeah. The man with 5 talents, because it's on weight, would have been given in the day's terms over 6 million. The man with 2 talents was given in the region of 2.5 million. The 1 talent man, 1.2 million. It's not like the 1 talent man is no blessed. Who would happily receive 1.2 million a day? Yes. Oh, no, I don't want that. It's a 1 talent. I want to be a 5 talent guy. Yeah. And it's not like the one with 1 talent got the scraps. Each got a lot. When God gives you some, it's always a lot. Yeah. And God gives always with the same heart and same spirit. But I think humans were obsessed with what others are given.
Yeah.
That we lose the value in what we've been given because we're so obsessed with comparing with what others have got and what talents others have got, and we become obsessed with what somebody else has got that we can't even enjoy or even accept what we've got. Nothing, I've learned this, nothing devalues you more, and I know this from my own life, nothing devalues people more than comparing themselves to others. When we start internalizing and comparing, we always lose sight of our own value.
Yeah.
There is a statement I heard recently, and I don't know if any of you have ever been to any of this. It's called Take One Action. It's a movie festival, a film festival, where it's small independent docu films. If you like movies and you like docu movies, and you actually like debating, then I highly recommend this. It's something that I stumbled across by mistake a few years ago, where I went into a cinema in Edinburgh and there were this thing called Take One Action, where it's an independent Scottish charity where they show films from all around the world No, some of you have seen some of them. The revolutionary optimist that we showed in here. Yeah. The landfill harmonic, where we're in Paraguay and where loads of homeless people live in a rubbish dump. A man decided that it would be a good idea to make musical instruments out of rubbish.
Yeah.
And there's this orchestra that tours the world today.
Yeah.
Called the Landfill Harmonic, and it's made up of homeless people who live in a rubbish dump in Paraguay, and they go around the world playing these musical instruments that's made from things that was flung out.
Yeah.
And it really, for me, expands your mind into a whole different realm. And I was at one on Friday, because the festival's on. It's on until away into next week. I think it's about £8 or something to go. It's the same price as it is to go to the cinema. And usually what happens is the filmmakers are often there in the cinema and then they do a Q&A with them. So you've got all sorts of stuff for every walk of life. There's amazing films about tribes in Africa and for all areas of life. This one was about Syria. And it was a girl who filmed the events in Syria way before the war started, right up to the war started. And really, what I learned through this film is, because these are not propaganda films. These are not films. You know, one of the things I learned, and this is maybe just an offshoot in case you're interested in this, one of the things that I learned watching this film and then speaking to the director of the film was that the footage that we see on television, I did not know this. The footage that we see on television of war, it's cost a lot of money to show that.
Wow.
I did not know that. Because the war scenes that we see on television, television companies pay a lot of money to film that.
Wow.
A lot of these things, and I'm not saying them all. No, I'm not trying to... I'm not saying I'm an expert in this. So what was happening in Syria is a lot of the battles you were seeing were staged. Because it's worth more money. I'm not saying they weren't killing people. They were killing people. The movie I went to see was called The War Game. And this girl filmed for years. In fact, they were a revolutionary. They were a revolution starting in Syria way before, against Assad, against the dictator.
Yeah.
And way before ISIS stepped in,
yeah.
The Syrian people were rising up against the dictator. And then ISIS stepped in and they'd done away with the revolution. So they almost stole people's revolution.
Yeah.
They almost stole people's fight for peace.
Yeah.
You know, and dictators, that's what dictators do. They steal people's fight for peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what the girl said is, and there were a statement in the film, I don't think it was a girl that said it, but they were interviewing different Syrians. Syria is almost, people are dispersed around the world today. Syria is no longer even a country. Almost Syrian people... Or we had Syrian refugees, the first Syrian refugees to enter Scotland. We had them here at our Christmas giveaway 2 years ago, where there were 30 families, all Syrian refugees, just arrived like a week before, which was an amazing honour for us to love in these people when they were dispersed all around the world. And today, Syrians really don't have a country. Syrians are a people who... don't have anywhere to live. It would be like you're Scottish, but none of you live in Scotland, really.
Yeah.
And one of the things the girl says is when conflict starts anywhere, the first thing to leave is truth.
Yeah.
When conflict starts in our own personal world, when we start comparing ourselves to other people and comparing ourselves to what others have got, the first thing you usually leave the equation is the truth about what God sees in you.
Yeah.
We never see, we miss what God sees in us and the gift that he's gave to us, because we become obsessed, we compare. The first thing you leave, Syria, when that outbreak and the revolution started, when the people were revolting for freedom, really, before terrorism and before ISIS and all that stepped in to mess with the whole thing, the first thing to leave was when conflict started was truth. And the first thing to leave us often when we start comparing and when we start conflicting in our mind is truth. The message title, therefore, is this. This is the message title. The message title is Ethics determine blessing, no talent.
Yeah.
The scripture says that God then gave us stuff and then immediately left. Mm-hmm. He turns up on the scene, he gives these three men a gift. And then he says, he immediately leaves. Because we're talking about God here, it's a parable, but they're talking about God. There is no instruction whatsoever. Which is a nightmare, isn't it? Because don't we love instruction?
Yeah.
You ever been like, God, what have I done with this? What am I doing? What am I doing? I need more instruction.
Yeah.
The one talent man does not know what to do because he constantly needs instruction.
Yeah.
Frightened people, I would say this, frightened people are so frightened of making a mistake. Because they've become stifled and paralysed by lack of instruction.
Wow.
Have you ever been in your job and you just don't want to make a decision because you're frightened to make a mistake?
Yeah.
And you're like, I need more information. I want to know more. I want to know more. And it's kind of fear-based.
Wow.
And because we over-instruct people, I love that God just gave these guys stuff and just left. He didn't tell them even to multiply it, grow it, expand it. He just gave them it and left.
Yeah.
And I think we over-mess with people's process. And God never messes with people's process. I think the church in general is a nightmare for messing with people's process.
Yeah.
I think parents are a nightmare. Here you go, you get any bother for this stuff. But it's true.
It's true.
They over-mess with kids' process, so they never learn patience.
Yeah.
Let patience have its work.
Yeah.
So the minute the child's awkward or crying or annoyed or restless or irritable or discontent, the parent instantly jumps in to fix the disease in the child, not realizing that it's actually messing with the character that needs built, be solving the problem themselves.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So we end up messing with the process way too quick. You're like, oh, I need to fix it. 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 They're annoyed. And I look at it in my life, and the reason I want to mess with people's processes is because of how it affects me.
Yeah.
I can't cope with how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
I can't cope with somebody not being okay.
Yeah.
And if you're ever in an environment where you're a people pleaser, you feel responsible for everybody's unhappiness.
Yeah.
Feel responsible for everybody who's not feeling good.
Yeah.
I want to make them feel better.
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge pair. I'm not here to do that. What I will say is, I don't think that's the best way for children to grow.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the best way to... we want to direct,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. It's great, Mark.
But we don't want to put our fears into their beliefs.
Yeah.
We don't want to put our inability to overcome stuff into their inability to overcome stuff. Now, I know this is a parable, but there's obviously something going on in this one talent guy that makes him really frightened to giving something a go here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's obsessed with instruction.
Yeah.
And he's obsessed with instruction, I believe, because he's frightened to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't want to do anything here, I'll just hide.
Yeah.
And then it says this, according to their own abilities, each get blessed. Each get a gift. Each get a lot more than they started with. They started with nothing.
Yeah.
But each got according to their own abilities. And I want to just talk about this for a minute. That this for me is something we don't probably talk about in church. Or think when we're saved, we never touch this stuff. It's something that doesn't really exist. And the reason what I'm going to mention now doesn't really exist because there's no theology for it. And see, the thing is, see if we can't have a theology for it, as believers, we usually admit it.
Yeah.
So, for instance, where's the theology for the person that doesn't get healed for cancer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't have a theology for that.
Yeah.
There's no theology for that. And anything that we can't have a theology for, especially as believers, we tend, because we always think we need, where's the God factor in that?
Yeah.
And God says specifically, and I love how he says it, according to their own ability.
Yeah.
He didn't say according to my ability. I gave them according to their own ability. Yeah. For each according to their own abilities. And this for me is something we don't talk about. And it's this, it's the human factor. Mm-hmm. Wow. We don't talk about the human factor.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, there's no human factor because God's in everything. He's done everything. He's done this and he's in everything. He's done everything. And he's everything. There's a human factor.
Yeah.
This is nothing to do with blessing or gift. It's the human factor.
Yeah.
It's not the God factor. It's the human factor that affords different human beings to have different abilities. Everyone is gifted.
Yeah.
Everybody's gifted. But there's a difference, and I know this can sound a bit confusing, there's a difference between gifting and abilities. There is a difference. The man who got 5 talents was not more loved, and here lies the problem, he was not more loved. He was not any more loved than the guy who got 1 talent or 1 gift. He was not more loved. He was not more highly thought of. Because that's the road we get down with this stuff, and we end up in a mindset, because he get more, God must love him more, or he must value him more. Religion even would teach that, I've got a bigger gift than you, I must be more blessed with God. Nonsense. It does not work that way. God has not loved somebody more because he had an ability. Abilities do not make you more favourable with God. Because favour is not based on abilities. We're all favoured.
Yeah.
We're all favoured.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same abilities.
Yeah.
And the reason, and this is what can mess with your mind, the reason we don't have the same abilities is because they were not given by God. And we're not talking about gifts. They were not given by God. There's the human factor. There is the human factor. And this is where it gets messy. Because the longer you've been in church, you need to go, but God gives us that, and everyone's God, and everyone's that, and everyone's that. And it starts messing with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because we can't comprehend it, because it messes with our religion.
Yeah.
I believe we're missing it in one major thing in this parable here. We're missing it in the human factor.
Yeah.
How we develop as people through our nurture and experiences, that's what creates the human factor. Their character traits and their humanness.
Yeah.
Which we don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
Because where's God in that?
Yeah.
If God can give us talents, let me say it this way. If God can give us talents, which he did in this parable, he gave us talents and then walked away for a long time. Then God's part of your birth then can disappear. I never heard from God when I was 3 months old. 6 months, I never even knew he existed. Did you? See, when you were 4, you're like, oh, the law. Well, you might. Jesus himself, this is what it says. This is the only time Jesus is mentioned in the New Testament and he's nurturing. It just says, and he grew in stature and knowledge. That's it. But we don't like to talk about the human factor because it messes with God's in charge. But there is nurture and there is free will. Do you think, here's a question I would ask, do you think God made Apostle Paul, aka Saul, brilliant at murdering Christians? Seriously, he was dynamite at that. He was dynamite at murdering Christians. He was right up there.
Yeah.
So, said he himself, he was well known in society as the guy who was brilliant at murdering Christians. God factor or human factor?
Human
factor, right, okay. God didn't make him I'm going to make that guy dynamite. Killing Christians. The human factor is no omitting God. It's adding what we've picked up from humans. Cristiano Ronaldo has got a human factor. We don't like to talk. Yes, he's got a God-given gift. But there's also a massive human factor.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi's got a human factor. I'm using football players, whatever. I don't know if any of you have seen the film Sully. The film Sully is Tom Hanks. It's the true story of the airline pilot who landed the aeroplane into the Hudson River in New York. True story. What happened was, and if any of you have not seen it, it's a good film. It's no epic, like if you like epic plane crash films. It's more about the human nature and amongst this film. And what happens is, birds fly into the propellers, into the engines of this aeroplane, this, I think it's a Boeing 757 or an Airbus, whatever it is, passenger plane. And Sully, the pilot, decides, I'm not going to be able to make this back to LaGuardia or another airport, I think it was in New Jersey. I'm going to have to land in the Hudson. Now, what happened is he landed in the Hudson, and when he landed in the Hudson, there became everybody had survived. Wow. An amazing feat. Yeah. A human skill. Yeah. And what happened was that they ended up a huge inquiry, which I didn't know. I knew about the thing that happened. I didn't know about the inquiry because they were trying to blame him. The insurance company said, we need to blame somebody. And what they did is, they had this big case and this big inquiry where they simulated the crash. And the plane was able to get back to LaGuardia and the other airport. And during the inquiry, Sully said, the pilot says, you're missing some out here. There's the human factor. He says, how many times did the simulator pilots have a go at getting back to the airport? And he says, 78 times. He says, well, wait, there's a human factor involved here. We had one shot here. Yeah. And there were other things that we had to consider. Whereas they knew, they were informed beforehand what was going to happen. Yeah. They were informed upstream. Yeah. You're going to... Whereas when something's happened spontaneously, there's a time scale involved in the human factor as you come to terms with what's happened to you. Yeah. And what he said, so he asked this question, and then he says, well, add 15 seconds onto the clock for the human factor. And his co-pilot says, 15 seconds isn't enough. He says, it's more than what we had. Every single time that then they tested it after that, it crashed. Yeah. Wow. Sully was a hero. But there was something innate in the man. Yeah. It was the human factor. Yeah. And I want to say to you that there's a human factor in people's lives that's hijacking your blessing. Yeah. Because it makes us compare.
Yeah.
And the volume of gift is nothing to do with how much God loves you or the favour. It's due to the human factor. It's to do with capacity.
Wow.
I've seen this over the years, and this will help some of yous. Yous need to stop fighting to have somebody else's capacity. Because when you start fighting for somebody else's capacity, you stop operating in what you're called and what you're gifted to do. Because you become obsessed with somebody else's capacity. I want to be a five talent man. The five talent man is not any more blessed. He has a different capacity. He's got a human factor that there's no theology for. That messes with theology. And I've seen people over the years, well, I want to have the capacity that person's got. And I want to have that capacity. And God's never asked you. God never bestowed. He says, according to their ability, God never wanted to give anybody anything that they could not handle.
Yeah.
And just because somebody can handle something and somebody can't handle something does not mean that they're not as blessed or not as loved or not as accepted or not as important to God. There's just levels of capacity in what people can handle. It's just how it is. It's the human factor. Which we don't talk about in church enough. I heard Paul Scanlon preaching a great message years ago. He says, there's no I in team, but there's five in individually brilliant.
Yeah.
We cannot accept that. We compete too much. If I can have their capacity, then God will bless me. No, You won't get somebody else's gift if you try and grow near capacity. You just neglect your gift.
Yeah.
And for the wrong reason. They start ignoring their gift and they ignore what they have been given because they want to have somebody else's human factor. You can't have somebody else's human factor. You did not go through what they went through. You did not. You are not wired the way they are wired. You did not experience what they experienced. You did not encounter what they encountered. You don't have the personality that that person's got. Don't neglect your gift. Trying to have another human being's capacity. Because you'll end up never growing your own gift. But the problem is that we think we're lesser than because we don't look at our own gift. We look at somebody else's capacity. Regardless of the size of gift, they all get something collectively. Do you know what it was? An opportunity. That's what they all got collectively. Regardless of your capacity, every single human being has got an opportunity. Some people's capacity, and go back to that, is small and others. I might talk about this tonight. No, because God doesn't love them.
Yeah.
Two men took the opportunity, and one man didn't.
Yeah.
The one talent man seen what he had as a burden. Mm-hmm. He feared it. He was worried that he failed with it. He was worried that it didn't impress people enough.
Yeah.
He was frightened to make a mistake. Fear of losing it. Fear of letting somebody down. He said he knew God was a harsh man, a hard man. And in this, it doesn't say it, but I would just as talking terms would say that I believe he believed God was a hard man because I believe he had a father wound.
Yeah.
People will hear harsh all the time. Almost always have a father wound.
Yeah.
He probably had a father wound that made him fear mistakes.
Yeah.
That lived in perfectionism.
Yeah.
When you live in a perfection home, mistakes are not, because your mistake makes somebody else look bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even about nurturing you or building you up or encouraging you. It's how it makes them look.
Yeah.
And I believe it stopped his human capacity. He was maybe reminded, I don't know, he was maybe reminded that when he got stuff that it cost other people a lot. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. When you were ever given in, you better take care of that because I had to work hard for that. It's a crazy thing to say, you know, because all of a sudden you have an unhealthy value in some. I had to work hard for that. Do you know what effort we had to put in for that? Oh. He was maybe reminded of that he got stuff that cost other people a lot. That made him fearful and buried his talent.
Yeah.
Even though God was no looking for him to double it. God didn't even care if he doubled it. Because
yeah.
God said, even if you deposited it in the bank, you would have got a bit of interest.
Yeah.
And the reason I believe God said that is because God left for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time, we're always looking for a word, didn't we? Tomorrow. Oh, God, I need another word. I need another move. I need another sign. I need another wonder. I need another revival. I need another that. God's like, just go on with what I gave you.
Yeah.
Just go on with what you've got.
Yeah.
I can't go on with what I've got. I need more. I need you to tell me you love me today. I gave you 1.2 million yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't care if you gave me 1.2 million yesterday. Do you love me today? You know what I'm saying? I was like that. I lived my life like that before I get saved. Do you love me? I told you. Tell me again. But say it if you mean it. I meant it the last 50 times I said it. Say it again. No, you hang up. No, you. No, you. Bye. You sure? Love it. Right, bye. Am I more special than anybody else? You're the specialist boy ever, Mark. There's never been somebody as special as you. You're so special. I don't think you mean it. Prove it. I gave you 1.2 million. Oh, that was yesterday. Are you giving me the day? I need 1.2 million every day. Feel special.
Yeah.
And that's what Christians are like. I need another word today. I need another sign today. I need another wonder today. I need another anointing today. I need another revelation today. And God's like, I'm off. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'll come back in a long time. And when God leaves for a long time, in this context here, you know, money devalues. I can remember a packet of crisps with 7p. We could go further back here. I don't know the price of alcohol the day. I have no idea of the price of alcohol. My earliest memory of price of alcohol was a pint of lager or beer was 67p. Long time ago. When at my first job, I get paid £27.50. I used to save on that. Yeah. I could save on that, taking right enough. That didn't help that I didn't pay any of my parents or anything, you know what I mean? I mean, heaven forbid that you pay any keep, you know? You know what I mean? Some of your parents are like that. The kids just come in. Even when they don't live there anymore. I still do it in my mum's house. I don't even live there anymore and I come in and open the fridge. Does any of you do that? I just arrive and open the fridge and then I say this as if it's any of my business. For goodness sake, you've got nothing in. You don't live here. You don't pay anything. I used to pay £10 a week, dig rent, keep money, we called it dig money, £10 a week. I get £1 a day to get back to work, sometimes £1.50. And I'd be like, what kind of dinner's this? I'm a working man. Yeah, I'm giving you an equivalent of about 80p a week here. But a decent dinner here, for heaven's sake. So when God come back, this 1.2 million after a long time, money had been worth 1.2 million. So the guy hasn't just buried it and kept it, he's lost money. Yeah. He'd get back and go, you know what, that's only worth £1 million now. Yeah. You've lost 200,000 here. And God doesn't babysit our talent. God does not babysit your talent. Yeah. We're left to go on with it. We are given an opportunity. We hear things like, I need another move of God. God's like, over to you. I need another revival. Over to you. I need a word. I need a word for direction. Over to you. Yeah. We need to know what to do next. On something. We need to know he still loves us. And here's two of these men getting on with this. Getting on with what they were given, taking an opportunity to continually add value to what God had gave them, even though it was small. Doesn't matter what size it is. In this case, it wasn't small, it was a lot. No instruction, no prophetic word. Oh no, I'm waiting in two red buses. Then I'll definitely know. I'll definitely know that stuff. Two red buses pass and I'll know it's the Lord. Three buses pass. Three in a row. Like, oh no. What does that mean? I used to pray this prayer. I know it's pathetic before I was saved. God, if you're real, move the cup. Did any say that move the cup thing? I'd have moved the cup. And do you know what? So I used to have a cup and I'd sit the cup. I'm like, right then, move the cup. And then I'm like, this is how dysfunctional I was, right? I was like, right, okay, it's a heavy cup. And I remember putting a polystyrene cup down. It's a true story. Move the cup. Nothing. As if God's like, I'll move the cup. Seriously, some Christians are like that. They're always looking for that. Move the cup. I need you to move the cup. And God's like, just go on, mate. Yeah. Don't say anything. Yeah. Just using what we've got to make it more valuable. Yeah. Just using what we've got. What did they do? What did these two guys do? It says they done this, they traded. I love that. It says that they traded. They started to engage with other human beings. They started to engage with the human factor. Yeah. They started to engage with other people's talents and gifts. They started, so they would have traded, they would have took this, and then they would have met other people who had stuff of value.
Yeah.
You can never add value to your life if you're not teachable. Because you're no willing to draw in what somebody else knows. You're only willing to give what you know.
Yes.
You need to. So these guys go trading. And they say, listen, this is what we've got. And they start trading me stuff. And they start interacting with other people. And they say, well, I've got this. Well, I've got this. And it adds value to them. Yeah. When we start interacting with people, I hear people saying, like, I don't really bother about people anymore. I just listen to God. That bothers me.
Yeah.
Can I say it again? That bothers me. That worries me.
Yeah.
That concerns me. I just think, woo, 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 woo. Flick alert. Unteachable.
Yeah.
I've never yet to meet somebody who lives their life that way, who's multiplied their talent.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They never multiply their talent because everything comes to God. Well, how do you know that's true? God told me. If you spoke to a person, don't need to speak to a person. God told me.
Right.
Okay. God's told me this and God's told me that. Well, what's he got to tell you next?
Yeah.
Well, no saying we don't hear from God, but what about and these guys multiplied stuff. God wasn't there.
Yeah.
God left them amongst other people to deal with it.
Yeah.
When Jesus sent the disciples out, don't take anyone with you. You'll need the human factor to help you deal with that.
Awesome.
You'll need to get rid of other people. You'll need to get rid of other people. You'll need to learn to interact with other human beings in order to grow.
Yeah.
Which is hard for people. Because we find it sometimes hard to interact with other human beings. And the reason we find it hard to interact with other human beings is because they've stole some of your talent.
Yeah.
At some point in their life. Mm-hmm. So we go, well, I'm not going to share my talent with them because the last time I shared it with them, I left feeling worse. I left feeling lesser. I left feeling I was more bankrupt when I left.
Yeah.
So we just go alone with God. These guys started to use what God had given them, interact with humans, get around about bigger people, get around about people who had stuff in their life. I love when we bring people into this church to speak. We always ask them, are there anything you see in us? Are you anything that you see in church? Are you anything that we see here that we've got a blind spot of? Have we made mistakes? Listen, even every complaint's got a kernel of truth.
Yeah.
Even if 95% or 99% of the complaints ought to deal with them,
yeah,
there's an element of 1% of truth that you have to draw on in order to grow and equip that helps your talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
We've had some of the stupidest complaints in this church you'll ever think in your life. You just think you're a serial complainer.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay, you're a serial complainer, that's fine. But see, within that serial complaint, there's probably a kernel of truth that you can draw on.
Yeah.
There's probably even a tiny kernel of truth that can help you, that can equip you, that can expand your talent and expand what God's given you, even if it's only expanding you that.
Yeah.
And these guys started to trade and multiply through what God given others. God had given to others, say that again. They started to multiply and grow through what God had put into somebody else.
Yeah.
Any growth that we've had in this church in my personal life has not just came through God. It's came through the gifts that other people have had that have helped my life.
Yeah.
If you don't interact with humans, see what happened with the guy with the one talent? Didn't he interact with him? Didn't he take his talent? Didn't he bring his talent to the table? Wanted to be a one-man band. Here's the problem with one-man band. They never know they're out of tune. Like, you're constantly out of tune, but you don't know you're out of tune. Mm-hmm. I used to have a guitar when I drank. Three chords, C, D, and G, in any order, by the way. In any order with no rhythm. I used to play in front of a magic. This is just no normal. I used to pray in front of imaginary audiences. Mm. You ever done that?
Yeah.
Play a song, it'd be awful. Thank you very much. One more. Do you know who was always in the audience? All my ex-girlfriends who are still wanting to fancy me. For the past. One man bands never know the route of tune. Yeah. What about my trumpet? I want to play my trumpet. No, hold on a minute. We need you to interact. Yeah. Yeah. In order to strengthen, in order to get better. Yeah. And unteachable people never grow their talent. And we have to, because they would have to get around other people and let their talent, and lay their talent in. Yeah. And they would have to know that maybe somebody in the room knew a bit more than them about something. Yeah. Can you not know on me? I've been in church all my life. There lies your problem. Yeah. And these two guys get run about talent. They get run about other talent to gain more talent. Yeah. And Fraser, do you want to come up? You may not be the best at everything. You may not be the best at everything. You know, I learnt my life. I'm a slate and plaster betrayed. Not a plaster, but roofer betrayed. It took me years to accept I wasn't the best. Because I had this mindset, if I'm not the best, then I'm a failure. Yeah, right. See, if you're not the best at everything you do, then you're no good. I realised I was nowhere near. See, once I settled that I'm not the best, honestly, I just got on, mate. It was great. Yeah. And the reason I wasn't the best, because it wasn't my passion.
Yeah.
Some things you're not the best at because it's not your passion. Yeah. No other reason. Yeah. You're just not the best at it because it's not your passion.
Yeah.
There are other people going to be, there'll always be somebody better at what you do. They'll never be better at being you.
Yeah.
But they might be better at what you do. Well, I want to be the best ever. How about just being the best you? Because
yeah.
See, if you can be the best you, somebody else can be actually better. I'm a communicator. I am under no illusion. And I know yous are under no flipping illusion either. So I don't need to convince yous that I'm anywhere near the best. Ah, listen to Stephen. Thank you. That's priceless, isn't it? And so is she the best. And I look at these guys, but do you know what I do? I try and learn from them all.
Yeah.
And I try and draw from what they're brilliant at, and I try and add it to the little that God's gave me. Yeah. And I try and keep adding it to the little that God's gave me. And I listen to your Stephen Furtick, who just... I listen to the Bishop T.D. Jakes, to me the most... wise man on earth at this moment in time. And I just look at him and I just think, how did you get that? How could you take that wee passage and just explode it? And how did you know that that meant that? And you just let, I just glean for the reapers. You just need to learn to glean for the reapers. Them are ahead of you, them are further on in you. Because my job is not to become them or have their capacity. My job and your and what God has entrusted in you is to expand everything that He's gave you and use every single factor under the sun to equip you and help you. That's it. Okay, well, time's gone. The man with one talent, 1.2 million, buried his because he never interacted with humans. He never seen other people's talents as a gift to his world. He's seen it as a threat. Wow. Oh, there's a message.
Yeah.
He's seen other people's talents as a threat, no a gift. He's seen it as a competitive thing, rather than another a blessing to his world. All that, see, when you think about it, see the one talent guy, do you know what I had today? Was fully the two talent guy and the five talent guy naturally do similar what they done. See, he didn't even need to know anything. He just had to say, what is it you're doing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go and trade this. No, well, I've only got 1.2 million. Well, listen, I know people you could get in a bit, you could multiply that. You could add to that.
Yeah.
But when we're fearful and we've got that, we don't see other people's talent as a gift to our world.
Yeah.
I want to say to some of you, some of you will never grow in your gift because you see other people's gift as a threat to your gift rather than a blessing to your gift. Seriously. No. See, the more creative you are, the more likely you are to have this trait. I just need to say that. See, the more creative you are, the more likely you are to have this trait. Creative people struggle with other people's creativity. That's why Hollywood and these places are full of divas. Full of divas. I met a guy a few years ago, and he works in the West End theatres. He's actually a joiner, but he's the head joiner in one of the West End theatres. I met him years ago. And I says, "How do you like it?" He says, "Oh, it's great, it's great." He says, "It's full of divas." "No, it's full of divas. This is my show and this is my talent." You something. Just because you see these people on television and you see all this stuff and you see them on stages and all that, one of the things, they can be total divas.
Yeah.
Because they struggle to celebrate. And seeing God's kingdom, we never propel our gift and never showcase God well when you're threatened with somebody else's talent.
Yeah.
Churches who are threatened with other churches who are doing a good outreach project. What they should be doing is going, ah. What we should be doing is cheering it on. A church that has a revival or an event or a conference or something, we should be like, "Well done. That seems awesome to me. That seems..." But we don't do it because we're threatened with somebody else's talent, not realising that it never grows ours.
Yes.
Can the rest of the band come up? And the only thing that mattered to the one talent guy, and I will close with this, this is my first close. The only thing that mattered to the one talent man was that he preserved what God had given him, because he was frightened of losing it. No, he was so risk averse. He played it safe.
Yeah.
It was not about the talent he had. Because God does not bless talent. It was about the ethics they had. It was about his ethics. Ethics is how somebody morally works through their life. He didn't have the right ethics. Work ethic. He didn't have the right work ethic. He didn't have the right human factor. And I love how God didn't limit the true talent man. Can I just say that? He get doubled and all. And he also then get blessed. He also says, "Listen, enter in. Entrusted you with little, you get much." And God then entrusts these two men with so much more of what God's got. Because like, there's so much more I've got for you. There's so much more that I want to multiply with your gift. But I want to see what you can do with yourself first. I want to see what you can do with your gift yourself first before I let you enter in to plenty. I've seen it with people, we want the big stuff. Oh Lord, the big prayer. Lord, we pray for the city. Settle for being a better person at work. God's like, "Settle for you being better at work."
Yeah.
"God, I want the city. I want to take a city. God, I want a massive ministry. I want a church with 10,000 people. Mark, you can't handle 50. Get up." Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Start handling the 50. Paul Scanlon says to me years ago, he says, "You better handle the Maddies because he'll keep sending them." He'll keep sending them until you get a grip at them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to laugh. I'll better handle the Maddies. Because I hope he doesn't keep... If he doesn't... Because he's got to keep sending them until I handle them.
Yeah.
Lord, give me 10,000 people. Lord, give me the biggest ministry, God. Let me sing songs in big platform. Where is your ethics?
Yeah.
Let me sing songs in big platforms, but turn her mic down. She got... Turn her mic down, turn mine up in order and let me sing to the world. God, like, no chance, no chance. You'll make it all about you, and it's all about me. And God's like, "Don't bless talent, I bless ethics, I bless character, I bless team play. I bless celebrating others. I bless an after you approach to life. I bless people who can connect with people and interact with people." I met a guy years ago, he says, "I want to be a pastor, but I've got a problem. I don't go in with people." I says, "Get a job in the lighthouse." "I want to be a pastor, but I don't go in with people." But in the people business, you better learn to go on with them. "I don't really go on with people." Oh, you're in the wrong game. Ethics means a moral principle that governs a person's behaviour. Ethics are the values in people's lives. nothing. It's not a God factor, it's the human factor. It's what we can do. And God comes back. You know what? We have to live sometimes if God's coming back tomorrow, don't we, I think? Because you know, one day he will. I know we can laugh, oh no, we're obsessed, God's coming back. You see the people on the God channel. I've worked it out, he's coming back in 66 days. He's coming back next Tuesday. I've worked it out, he's coming back. You've not got a clue when he's coming back. And through that scripture, in fact, through the Holy Matthew 25, he actually is addressing that subject when we don't have a clue. So we better be vigilant. And we better switch on. He talks about the people who took their lamps out, but they never took oil. The reason they never took oil, because they went out during the day. Somehow in their head they thought it would never get dark. See, Christians that think it's never going to get dark, they're going to struggle. Oh, see that? There's a message here. See, if you think it's you're never going to have a dark day, you're going to have a lot of bad days. Of course you're going to have dark days. That's why you need to take oil. How we conduct ourselves. I realise the day that, and it's no, I'm not trying to behaviour modify. I realise the day that the much that God wants to give us, the blessing that God wants to pour into your life is no mere talent. It's more capacity. What can we handle? How do we carry with the little we've got? How do we serve with the little we've got? See, if we're working in the kitchen, let's do it with all our heart. See, wherever you are, be all there. Gifts, talents, the lot. See, if we're building something, let's do it with all our heart. See, if we're singing, let's do it with all our heart. See, if we're serving, let's do it with all our heart. See, if we're coming to your service, let's do it with all our heart. Let's bring our best. And see, after I've brought my best, then bring some here. That's what I want to bring to church. I want to bring my best and then some. After I've brought everything that goes in, then I want to bring more. These guys are blessed, known talent, in conduct and character, how they interact with humans, how they learn from others, how they're willing to humble themselves in front of people who are further on in them and bigger than them, how they interact with other people's gifts and talents, how they can draw from what other people have got to help their life. Years ago I went to, and I've done it a few times, this is my final close. I remember I went to Arizona, and I've been to Arizona a couple of times. I'll tell you what happened. When you start to see, there's nothing wrong. See, here's the thing in church that we don't like. We don't like heroes. Because Jesus is it. Seriously. We don't have heroes. We know that humans couldn't tie Jesus' sandals. We get that. But in the Old Testament, through Scripture, people would say, "We're with you, David. We're with you, David." We don't like that. We're with God because we've got a submission problem. We don't like. See, you get. I'll guarantee you, if you've got that going on, you'll never enlarge your talent. Yes. Your talent will remain small. Your talent will never get to the platform and what God could have put you on because of that. Really, you might get somewhere, but it won't last. And I remember hearing Paul Scanlon speaking. I started to tune into his stuff and it stimulated, and I thought, wow, this is just awesome. This is explaining me to me. And I read his book, and in his book he mentioned about a man called Tommy Barnett. It's the only reason I found out about him. And how Tommy Barnett in a church in Arizona, who also formed the Dream Center in Los Angeles with his son Matthew, where they ended up owning a hospital, massive hospital, where they converted into a dream centre to rehabilitate people and to equip people and to help people and restore people. And he did a bus ministry. And Paul Scanlon says that he heard about this guy had a bus ministry. And right at the start of your journey, I thought, I'm going to get a bus. We'd a bus before we had a church. And the reason we had a bus before we had the church is because we wanted to reach people who nobody were reaching. That's the reason we got a bus. We got a bus because we knew that we were going to reach people who couldn't drive. When we started church, only 2 people had a car. It took about 3 years before 10 people had a car. Because we were reaching people that didn't have cars. And what happened was, I says, I'm going to go to Arizona. And I went to Arizona to Tommy Barnett's church. Never even met him. I just wanted to be in the presence of people's talent. I wanted to interact with other people's talent. I wanted to be around about people who were bigger than me and further on than me. And I left a bigger person. I left a bigger person. And I believe my talent just got a wee bit bigger. Because of what I was willing to draw for what other people had. If you're not drawn for what other people have got, you're not asking questions and getting around about. You don't ask questions against people with people that's moving on and growing. You'll never ever fulfill the destiny that God's planned for your life. It'll stay small and it'll stay stifled. You need to stop hiding your talent.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Hope United. You can stay connected with us through our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages.